This half hour being brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, RV. You have multiple insurance needs. Purdy Insurance takes care of them all. Make sure you're fully insured. Do everything they can to save you money. Sometimes that's going over state lines where allowed. Other times maybe it's bundles. But they try to accomplish both goals every time. Primarily that you're fully insured, then saving you money. Great pros who happen to be really good people. And don't forget about the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament next Wednesday at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club, benefiting the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA. And we open up and get going with Ryan Snyder, Blue White Illustrated on 3.com. Sir, welcome after another what appears to be for Penn State successful Lash Bash.
Yeah, successful is an understatement. Can you hear me, Steve? I'm on my headset right now.
Yep,
can you hear me?
I hear you loud and clear. And you need, every once in a while, you go into something like this. And if you can go out and hit the grand slam, it just sets the tone for everything else. It sounds like right out of the gate, they got the grand slam.
Kevin Brown, man, absolutely massive, massive commitment for Penn State. I would go as far to say that when you compare him to the 2025 guys who are committed, and you look at the 2026 guys who are committed, who are also very talented, he might be the best player they have committed out of all their guys right now. And I think that speaks really highly to his potential, who he is as a person, everything that Penn State wants in an offensive lineman. So, awesome pickup for them. Great kid. Fully committed to. Like, he's not going to be a guy you got to worry about at all. I think Penn State fans should be incredibly excited about adding a guy that I think will be a five-star. We have him as a four-star at the moment, but a number 20, I want to say 28 in the nation, something like that, right around that ballpark. You know, if he stays at that high in the rankings, he'll absolutely end up being a five-star when it's all said and done.
What is it about Penn State where the fit is really great for him? We already know the fit's great Penn State to him.
You know, I would say proximity to home was massive. That was incredibly important to Kevin. But also, he's just a guy that fits all the Penn State things. You know, cares about academics, cares about family, wants to be a leader. You know, there's so many things there that, you know, if you ask James Franklin, what's the ideal recruit? You know, how do they carry themselves? What do they care about? I mean, that's Kevin Brown in a nutshell. And on top of that, you know, his dad played college football. He played at West Virginia. So he's been kind of, I don't want to say born and bred to be an offensive lineman, but technique, perspective, and all these little things, he's just so much more advanced, I think, than a lot of other guys at his age or even some that are older. So, I mean, to me, like I said, I think he may be the best player they have committed of any class right now. And that includes an all-star, great-looking quarterback, Troy Hewitt, who was just here this past weekend. Beside Mickens, of course, in 2026, who's also a top 100 guy. Then, of course, they just got Max Granville on campus and, you know, have a lot of other good players in 2025 as well. So I'm incredibly high on Kevin Brown. I think Penn State fans should be so excited about that. And, you know, I know just from talking to different sources that Penn State's very excited about it as well.
Right, so then there's the next part of this. I mean, sometimes you'll get a guy like this, and if it turns out that he's somebody that wants to recruit other players, they end up being a Pied Piper, which I refer to all the time. Does he have that kind of personality?
Just did that interview yesterday with him, man. You know, he was saying kind of basically that, did he want to do all the visits and was he getting sick of phone calls? Yes. I mean, that was a part of him deciding early. But his other big part of this was, hey, I want to be a leader. You know, I want to be a guy who builds this class and helps build this class, you know, into something really special. And it's already, I mean, right now, it's incredibly early, of course, with 2026. But if you do look at the team ranking, they're number two in the country right now. Only Auburn's gotten off to a better start for 2026. So, yes, of course, very early. They only have four guys right now, but three of them are top 100 prospects. So you put a guy like Messiah Mickens in there. He's already been building all these relationships. Troy Hewitt, of course, he's out on the West Coast, but a very social kid. You know, absolutely will be connecting with guys. And then you add a Kevin Brown in there, a guy who is outspokenly saying, hey, I want to be a leader. I want to build relationships and take this class to another level. Well, I mean, could Penn State fans ask for a better start for 2026? I don't think you can, as far as you got really talented players and you got guys that want to get out there and do some peer recruiting.
Ryan, what about the next part of this? Because Lash Bash isn't just about one guy coming in. They bring more than 60 prospects in. how important to you is the element of bonding with guys that then help create a class?
Right. So Penn State did a great job this year of separating the event into two events. So Friday was a lot about 2026 players, 2027. You know, I think Masai Mickens was the only one really there on Friday. And then, of course, then on Saturday was a lot about, well, we got a majority of our committed players. I think it was about 14, 15 or so of the committed guys on campus. And then, of course, they brought in a few other 2025 guys as well, which you guys can read about over on our site. But, I mean, some guys who are committed elsewhere, you know, some players who I think could be making decisions here in the near future. And just from talking to those players, those guys who are wavering right now, maybe on a commitment elsewhere, or, you know, wavering between Penn State and other schools, this absolutely had a massive impact on them. I was just talking to one guy last night. You know, he's talking about how he spent a lot of time with Alex Tash this past weekend, and, you know, he thought that their personalities really clicked. So, just a lot of positive feedback from that. And then, of course, you know, you want the commits and their families to bond as well, right? The stronger you can get your committed class together, especially with however many months it is until signing day, well, the better your chances are of retaining. And that isn't just with the recruits. I mean, that's with the families as well. I've talked to so many parents who, you know, talk about how the bond they built with so-and-so and this player's parents and this player's parents. And, you know, when the families are able to build those bonds, you know, not only do those carry over the years and make it a strong class, but it helps keep everything together. And in today's world, where coaches are always trying to poach other players, that's incredibly important.
Ryan, obviously, there's always time between this and a signing day, and in the case of some guys, it's going to be, you know, it's not this year, it's the year after. But what has Penn State done recruiting-wise the last couple of years, and this year in particular, where they go from June 1 and they get to the Lash Bash and seem to be getting a haul?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you can say it about a lot of schools, honestly. I mean, it's just the way the recruiting calendar works. Of course, with kids out of school, you know, it makes it easier for players of all different age groups to visit in the summer, and that's a big part of it. And what you're really seeing is you're seeing a lot of guys who, like a Kevin Brown, right, who have done some spring visits, not really into the recruiting process. Okay, I'm going to make a move early. And then you have the opposite, where you have a lot of 2025 guys for this year, of course, who did go all the way, basically, until official visits are in June. And then they do that, there's always a surge in late June, July. And that's really, I mean, that's what we see for at least the 2025 class all across the country this year. I mean, Penn State picked up, what was it, I don't think it was about a dozen, but it was up there as far as 8, 9, 10 guys for the 2025 class within a handful of weeks. And you're going to keep seeing that moving forward, I think. This is the way the recruiting calendar set up.
NIL, of course, is going to play a role no matter what. What kind of job has Penn State done on the NIL front to improve Penn State's NIL and make it competitive with others?
Yeah, I mean, it's a good question, Steve, because I can't get a lot of people to talk about it, and I don't know really the reasonings behind that. Maybe I mean I think part of it is because Penn State has to improve, and I think maybe sometimes they're worried that a journalist may put, you know, some different numbers out there that not people are okay with, you know. But of course, they just had that Avalon event, which was pretty successful from the feedback we've gotten. And you know, it's really just about everybody kind of buying in. And I do think fans are getting more used to that. Now, I also believe that, you know, fans are seeing the revenue sharing coming, and they also believe, well, this is going to get taken off our plate. And I got bad news for people who are joking right now, but that's not going to change. These collectives are here to stay. Whether Penn State, you know, able to put in 12, 15 million of their own money, to football, you know, who knows what that number will be. But, my point, though, is the collectives are usually going to kind of be the cherry on top that I think a lot of schools use for recruiting purposes, maybe to, you know, to boost their chances with other players. So I think when you look at just from the feedback I've gotten, like, they've done a good job at getting guys that deserve to be at Penn State and then going a little bit above and beyond with some of these guys who are from outside the region. I think that's why you're seeing a little bit of some of these more recent commitments from guys that aren't really from the area. And then, of course, they're doing a great job with the guys who, you know, knew Penn State growing up, care about, you know, all the things that Penn State stands for. And, you know, they're doing their best to make sure those guys are compensated. But James has stuck to his gun, you know, when it comes to, you know, making sure the guys who deserve it and earn it on the field are going to be the team's highest earners. And I don't really see that changing. Now, at the same time, a lot of schools are doing a different approach. And that is a massive reason why, you know, we've seen some recruits that we thought would definitely end up at Penn State have gone elsewhere, especially with late decisions. I mean, we've seen quite a few guys maybe make a late move 72 hours before they're supposed to announce. So it's kind of how all you look at it and how you want to approach it. And of course, with revenue sharing coming, that's going to add a whole nother, charge to this apple, I guess you could say, as far as what Penn State and how they got to do to navigate this.
Well, no, I think that when it comes to the latter part, the problem is going to be for the ACC schools. I don't know if they have the money.
For sure.
Right? I don't know if they have the money to do it. It's not like a Big Ten school where you've got that big TV package that helps at least supplement part of it. You're going to have to get donations. But there's another element to it. Sometimes I don't know what's real in NIL reporting and what isn't. And I'll give you an example of a basketball player. I'm not going to say the name of the player. But it's been claimed that this player got $2 million to make the move as a fifth-year player. And then I talk to people I know and trust, and they tell me it was $800,000, that the agent's floating it, the school loves the fact that it was floated. So I'm not so sure some of the numbers are as big as people claim them to be, because you and I both know people.
They're certainly not. I think we could find substantially more cases where numbers are inflated, right? And look, let's be honest, a lot of those numbers are coming from agents or coming from players' families, whoever it may be, that want people to believe these massive numbers when maybe they're not exactly true. So here's one thing I will say, though, is one of Penn State's commits, again, I'm not going to say who exactly, they had a $300,000 offer to go to a certain school, and they passed that up to come to Penn State for a variety of different reasons. So it's all about finding the guys that really fit your program, care about, getting to the next level, care about development, obviously academics and everything socially. And Penn State's done a good job with that. But again, for some of these really highly rated guys, we're seeing schools throw around silly money, and it's usually silly money at the very end. And that's why I feel like if you're a fan and you've been watching the 2025 class and you're seeing some disappointments, well, you got to understand that some of these schools are throwing money around to guys that absolutely will probably come back to hurt them in the end, honestly.
What kind of foundation did they lay with others along the way, maybe guys that they're still trying to get involved in 25, but especially in 26?
Yeah, I mean, they've still what? They're at 21, probably 22 commitments, I believe. They have a player tomorrow, Ivan Camaju. We believe he's going to commit to Penn State. Virginia Tech's in the mix there, maybe Rutgers and a few others. But they should. I think they're going to get him tomorrow. I put in a prediction for him a couple days ago. But my point there is they only got a handful of scholarships left with 2025. I think they want to maybe try and get another receiver or two. They're poking around at linebacker. And, I will be curious, Steve, to see how this 105 scholarship impacts maybe what they do late in this cycle, because, now they kind of have reason to maybe try and they're always going to try and flip guys, but now they have reason to maybe take a few more chances on a couple players too. But of course, you have the walk-ons on the team, right? And I think James wants to make sure that those guys who have been there and have helped the program over the last couple of years, they don't just get ran off the team. So that's going to be an interesting topic within itself. To get back to 2026, I think the big thing for this weekend was really about evaluation. They handed out a ton of different offers, a lot of local guys, a lot of guys who were kind of floating under the radar too. As far as how the last batch impacted those guys, you're always going to have great feedback. But to me, the biggest takeaway was they got a lot of talented players on campus this past weekend. As you said, about 60 plus, and probably about 70-80% of them camped. And, that may not sound like a big number when you think about the previous camps and how you have hundreds and hundreds of players. But you also got to understand that the ratios of those camps when it comes to true FBS talent is like 10%, maybe not even. So this weekend to me was a really good opportunity for Penn State to get accurate evaluations on a lot of those 2026 guys that we're going to be talking about. And some of them are going to have great junior seasons and we're going to be talking about them a ton, while others are going to kind of, not pan out, right? Exactly, right? So I think that's the big takeaway now, because this junior season, the junior season evaluation for the film and everything, that's going to have a really big impact on how this board looks. Maybe how it looks now compared to how it's going to look 8 months from now.
You mentioned the camp part of it. There's just no price you can put on the ability to see someone live and in person. What has that meant from Penn State's point of view about committing to a guy because he camped and they saw it for themselves?
If you look at the guys who have camped at Penn State over the years and have gotten offers, the hit rate on them ending up, producing and what Penn State expects is always pretty high. Or at least, if you depend on the guys maybe you haven't, right? Or guys who maybe didn't do Under Armour camps and other ways that Penn State can collect that information. But, James would be the first to tell you that they care a lot about those testing metrics. And as you should. I mean, to see a guy, for example, Jasir Rogers, right? This is a player who just committed this past weekend. A guy from Delaware who, had Indiana and JMU before Penn State offered. And I think a lot of fans would be like, who is this guy? What made them take him so early? Well, my man had almost an 11-foot broad jump, Steve. Mm-hmm. If you know anything about evaluations and explosiveness, I mean, those numbers are insane. I mean, I can't really think of – only person I could think of had even close to that was Peter Gonzalez last year, who was right around 11 as well. So I just think that to be able to really understand and see how explosive a player like he is, and then, of course, he also had a 40 number that was pretty incredible as well. that's why he's part of this class now, and he will be part of this class as long as some other schools don't try and poach away, which I don't think they will. So it's massively important. It will always be important because you can get numbers from Under Armour. You can get numbers from all these different camps. But, when you're not there that day, you don't know how windy it was to maybe aid that 40 or, the rainy conditions that, made a guy slip and have an 8.5 broad jump compared to a 9.5, something like that. So I think that's where those live in-person evals are just massively important.
You mentioned one guy that's probably on the verge of saying yes. How close are they and any others here in this class?
Yeah, it's a good question. Right now I'm really kind of focused on Yvonne. He's the most, as far as 20, or the most, he will be the soonest, I guess is the right way to put it. They hosted Cam Smith this past weekend. He's committed to Duke. We'll see where that goes. I think Cam Smith wanted to be part of this class months ago, and it really was unfortunate for Cam because they had DJ McClary committed at the time, and then Alex Tash committed maybe like 2 or 3 days before Cam. And that put Penn State in a tough spot because, yes, they knew that there was a chance they'd take a third linebacker, but it was so early in the cycle that they didn't want to overload on a position that isn't at the very top of needs this year, especially when you look across the board and, what they have. But so much has changed since then. The 105 scholarship rule was just, became official the other day. That makes it kind of easier for them to find more guys to add. Of course, DJ McClary then decommitted as well, and that's probably the main thing that has Cam Smith back in the mix. But this is a player who I think really likes Penn State, wants to be at Penn State. I always felt like he did want to be at Penn State. And then, of course, he goes on to commit to Manny Diaz at Duke, which, also kind of shares his connection with this staff that he's built over, 2-plus years now. So Cam would be one to watch, and, we'll see with receivers. Kobe Howard was up this past weekend. He's not planning to announce until the end of August. His team, Shaman Amadonna, they have a ESPN game, I believe, on August 24th. He's looking to announce there. We'll see where things go. I think they'd love to flip another receiver or two. Time will kind of tell who emerges there. But, they're going to keep plugging away at a lot of these talented players who ended up going to other schools. And I think when we get closer to that time where they really got a sign, those players will start thinking about, man, do I really want to go 1,500 miles away from home? That's usually where you kind of see schools like Penn State be able to wiggle their way back in there.
And very quickly here at the end, with Ohio State November 2nd, then the whiteout very late this year, November 9th. How interested are you to see how those two weekends play out with the signing date so close after that?
Yeah, if you just look at the timing of it, that's when high school playoffs start, right? So that's going to be incredibly compelling to see. Certainly a lot of talented players won't be in it, but for the most part, when you have these very talented Division I players on your team, you do usually end up to the playoffs. And at least in Pennsylvania and a lot of the regional states, they play a lot more on Saturdays in the playoffs than they do necessarily on Fridays just because of the way it is, the schedule fields and all that. So I do think that's an interesting thing to keep an eye on. Now, with that said, last year's Michigan game was an absolutely excellent list. It wasn't as good as what the Iowa whiteout list was, and that's a big reason why Penn State is looking to have games more so in the evening for their marquee events like the whiteout. That's not the only reason. Don't get me wrong. Fans want it that way. Penn State wants it that way from a, to sell their brand perspective. But it certainly helps with recruiting when you can get players on campus later in the day on a Saturday over having a game potentially at noon for Ohio State. And we'll see what happens with Washington. But the timing of it isn't ideal. Usually it's the very last game in November, but it's kind of Thanksgiving break where everybody's a little more open, especially with it being the first, second week of playoffs. But we'll see. I'm very interested in seeing what happens there.
Ryan, always a pleasure, my friend. Thanks so much for all the great information.
No problem, Steve. We'll talk soon, buddy. Take care.
Ryan Snyder on 3.com, Blue White Illustrated. This half hour brought to you by Purdy Insurance on News Radio 1070 WKOK.